Hello and welcome back to Classical Music Spotlight. I'm Raymond Bechet. In this podcast, I talk to the renowned American composer John Corigliano about a new recording of his music for solo piano, music that spans more than five decades, starting with his Concerto for Piano and Orchestra, all the way to a piece that was written in 2021. The album features the outstanding pianist Philip Edward Fisher, accompanied in the concerto by the Albany Symphony, conducted by David Allen Miller. The music you just heard was from Winging It, and here's a bit more. The music on this album covers a large time span, but it's an album of just your solo piano music, music with one piano, in one case with orchestra. But you have a lot of other music that involves piano, right?
Oh, certainly I do. I have piano, two pianos, piano four hands, violin, piano, cello and piano, voice and piano, many, many things with the piano, two pianos, two and a quarter tone apart. Lots of other stuff, but this is just the solo stuff, the stuff for one piano alone.
Tell us a bit about that concerto, just an introduction for somebody that may not have heard it.
Well, first of all, it was the first piece I ever wrote for orchestra, and I wrote it over 50 years ago. I wrote it in 66 and 67, it was performed in 68. So I was in my late 20s when I wrote it. And I had this commission to write from the San Antonio Symphony to write a piano concerto. And I was thrilled out of my mind because I never heard an orchestra play anything of mine. And I wanted it to be everything and more. And it took me years to write it, 2.5 years. So that's why I say I was in my 20s when I wrote it. It was performed on my 30s in San Antonio by Hilda Sommer in the San Antonio Symphony under Victor Alessandro. It was a wonderful performance. They recorded it. And that was the first of what will now be five recordings of the piece. This will be the fifth recording of the piano concerto.
Tell me a bit about Philip Edward Fisher. I heard him first at Barge Music here in New York, and he played one of your pieces. And I loved the piece, but he also impressed me.
He's a superb pianist. Phil is British. He's living in the United States right now. I'm playing a lot of concerts around. He is got a consummate technique and great musical intelligence. I never have to tell Phil anything about a piece. He sort of gets it from the piece right away. Instinctual musician. I'm so glad he's made this record because he's really a definitive artist.
Tell us a bit about the Fantasia on an Ostinato, which I believe was commissioned by the Van Cliburn competition.
Yes, it was. And I had the problem of trying to write a piece that told the judges something that playing Liszt or Chopin would not, because all the technical stuff is in the repertoire and all the lyrical and romantic stuff is in the repertoire. How could I test their musicality? And I thought, why can't I build a piece in which the outer two sections are written out completely, and the middle section is a series of interlocking repeats to be chosen by the pianist, the number of repetitions of them. So they really have to build the architecture. And it was quite something at the semifinals. 12 semifinalists played the piece, and they took from 7 to 20 minutes to play it. So you can see the wide variance there. The optimum range was about 12 minutes, 12 to 13 minutes. And what I did was I decided to take on something that I have very mixed feelings about, minimalism. I like the sound of minimalism. It's always beautiful. And I like the harmonic world it lives in. But I'm not crazy about the lack of structure or coherence to it. It simply goes from one thing to another thing to another thing until it stops. So I said, what would happen if I took minimalism and built those repeats into a minimalistic texture and based it on one of the first minimalist pieces? The Pachelbel Canon is one, Ravel's Bolero is another, and based on the Seventh Symphony, the second movement is another one with that repeating bum, 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 bum,
Of
bum.
course.
Goes on for 5 minutes and only adds a voice here and a voice there. It's unlike Beethoven. It's not typical of him at all. And I took that ostinato and I took the first part of it being the harmonic side and the other side, half of it being the rhythmic side of the ostinato and built it into this fantasia. It was very exciting to hear different voices. Some people just repeated everything four times and kind of knew where they were. And other people were very imaginative in it. And in fact, Barry Douglas did win the award for the best performance of that piece at the Clyburn in that year.
Now, the Etude Fantasy was commissioned this time by the Kennedy Center.
It was 1976. It was to be performed by James Tocco, who was an extremely erudite and fantastic musician. And what happened was I'd always heard pieces for the left hand. Jimmy Tocco played pieces for the left hand, Moszkowski, Rachmaninoff. There's a Ravel famous concerto, and then there's other concertos for the left hand. And I always wanted to know why the left hand was better, since basically, as an amateur pianist, I'm more fluent on the right hand. So I looked into it and I decided I would write something for the left hand. Now, that couldn't be a 20-minute piece for the left hand because it's unaccompanied and it would be impossible. But I said, what would happen if I took and made an etude for the left hand and then took all the material for that in the next four etudes and developed them in other ways? So, first, it was the left hand and how it works, stretches, moves, and coordinates. And then it was legato playing, coming down slowly in legato from the right hand introduced. Then it was fifths to thirds, the one five finger and the second and third finger making a series of melodies and accompaniments. Then it was ornaments and finally melody. and all of it was related to the first etude. So it's a very tightly constructed piece. It's very, very difficult for the soloist. But again, a lot of people do play it.
You also have a piece called Winging It, which has a really interesting, I don't know, it came out of improvisation.
Yes, it's the first and only piece that I've done with that with. Ursula Oppens wanted me to write her a piece, and I need a reason to write a piece. I like the left-hand etude starting, the etude fantasy, or the problem of the what to do with interpretation in Fantasia on an ostinato. And I needed something here also. And I thought, I love to improvise, but I've never recorded my improvisations. Winging it, of course, is the jazz term for winging it, and you're playing it without the music in front of you, just winging it. And indeed, these three pieces are actual transcriptions of piano music I played and recorded with a MIDI and kind of way beyond me technically, music situation where it put down and it looked really ridiculous. We had to get the voice leading and the left and right hands and all of that in order. But when we finally did all that, these three pieces remained. And the third piece is played even faster than I played it, because I played it in my halting way. I'm not a fast pianist. And I actually recorded that in the Academy in Rome, the Rome Academy, and American Academy in Rome, one morning, just before lunch, I was improvising and improvised this very fast 3-minute etude. And it's dazzlingly difficult, but pianists now can play it because they're much better than I am, of course. And so these are actually inspirations, but they come out quite logically with return of melodies and things. I just seem to do that naturally.
Thank you. The final piece in the album is called Prelude for Paul, and it is, I think, what's the only music I know of that's based on a tattoo.
Yes, yes, you're right. Paul Sekhri is a CEO of major corporation, and he's a very gifted amateur pianist and loves music. And he loves so much that he had the first eight bars of the Rachmaninoff Second Piano Concerto tattooed on his arm. I took that as a hint when he wanted me to write a piece for him. I said, I've got to have those bars in this piece, but in such a disguised way that you wouldn't pick it up right away. But in the center of it, if you listen carefully in the left hand and the not the main voice, you'll hear the Rachmaninoff Second Piano Concerto basic four chords of the four basic measures of the opening of the piece. So it's really embedded in that for him. And indeed, he has played it. And other people have too now. Mm-hmm. And it's just a newborn baby. It's a little piece. It's not long. It's 3.5 minutes. But I wanted to do that because I have a great affection for Paul.
I once read something you either said or wrote about teaching students, and it seems very important to you.
Oh, I love teaching students. My students inspire me with their enthusiasm. I mean, I remember when I was their age, and I had that same wonderful enthusiasm. And when you go through, and I'm now 85 years old, when you go through a whole life, you love to see that rekindled in your students and feel that energy and love for music that they have. It inspires you to write music too.
How do you direct them? I've always wondered how a composition teacher, obviously you inspire them, but how do you direct your students without telling them what to do, as it were?
Well, it's very akin to psychoanalysis. You don't tell them what to do. What you do is point out possible alternatives. You know, in psychiatry, when you have a person who comes in and says, well, my wife said this, and I said this, and she said this, and I said this. And the psychiatrist said, is that the only response you could have made at that time? Couldn't you have had other choices? Didn't you fall into this pattern where you repeat the same choices over and over again? What else could you do? And then the patient says, well, I could have said this, yes, and I could have said this. And it's the same with composing. They bring me music, and I said, that's very beautiful. Where you are now, you have to continue. What are the choices that you want to make? Not just one choice. See, the problem composing is that when you write something down, you think that's the way it goes, just the way published music is. But it's not. That's just the sketch, as the Beethoven sketches will testify. That's not the piece. That's just the sketch of the piece that now can be changed with other choices. So I can help give them other choices and encourage them to come up with their own other choices so they can become their own teacher, which is the whole purpose of teaching composition, I think, to have the student become his own or her own teacher.
Thank you. You have another recording coming out shortly on the Pentatone label. It's The Lord of Cries, with music by you and a libretto by Mark Adamo.
Right, my spouse. Mark Adamo is a very distinguished composer in his own right. His opera Little Women has been performed all over the world, and he has five or six operas that he's written that are really terrific pieces. But in this case, he wrote the libretto and I wrote the music for this opera. It only took 10 years for me to write it. So you can see I'm a very slow composer. And it's a very bizarre opera about the Bacchae of Dionysus, of Euripides, where Dionysus, mm-hmm. central figure of the Bacchae, comes to a town, is rejected by the town, and wreaks revenge on the town because of that. And Mark has written an astounding libretto that's very surrealistic and very really gets to an audience. He communicates his ideas very well to them, and he also organizes them so that I can write the music I wrote. Yes, it was done at the Santa Fe Opera about a year and a half ago. It was very well received. And we now have a new recording done by Gil Rose and the Boston Modern Orchestra Project. They're a terrific orchestra, and they have recorded a CD of mine of other music. And he's kind of an unsung hero. Gil Rose has nearly 80 recordings of individual CDs, each from a different composer that he's done of contemporary music. It's an astounding record. And frankly, I think he should be on the front page of Time magazine. He's quite a remarkable creature. And he, at this point, is doing the mix, the first mix, and we're going to get it and go through it and work it to a fine tooth home. Have been listening to music by and an interview with composer John Crigliano. To celebrate a new album on the Naxos label titled Complete Solo Piano Music with pianist Philip Edward Fisher and the Albany Symphony conducted by David Allen Miller. Naxos catalog number 8.559930. It's available on disc and on all major streaming platforms. To go out, here's the very ending of the piano concerto. I'm Raymond Bechet. I hope you can join me next time. So long for now.